This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
We receive workings in our heart this morning in the name of Jesus. Our hearts are open. We desire you, Lord Jesus. We say, come, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Invade our heart, even the recesses of our being. Let us once again yield to you. Let us find willingness to follow you. Let our discipleship mind be tuned up. Let us be willing in total. Let every reservation in our hearts be given up. Let us love Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. This morning, once again, we continue with our series. We've been looking at Love Seal Discipleship Group. What will God will have us do to come into the right wineskin that God has earmarked for this house. And for you and house, I, that we may make a good profession of our faith. That will not just be believer on the head and just wondering. That irrespective of how the head is cleaved, one thing is sure in our hearts and in you, that the purpose of God will fulfill in the days of your flesh. God is a businessman. God is a profit taker. And there's nothing God does that actually perishes. All that he does says forever. Say nothing can be added to it. And nothing can be taken from it. And that's the estate God wants to bring us to. So God is a businessman. And his labor over us, over every soul, God is assured that he's going to take profit. And tell your neighbor, say, I'm that profit.
I'm that profit.
Say, I'm that gain.
I'm that gain.
Say, I'm that product.
I'm that product.
And that's why God has created a wineskin, a system, to ensure basically that that which we are hearing, that which we are being taught, that which is coming to us, we can trade with it, we can work with it. We can make meaningful progress with it as it comes to us. Just a quick recap of last week. Who is a disciple? We looked majorly what was a disciple in last week. We said that the word disciple comes from the word disciplina, which means because it's a discipline. It's a discipline both in learning and in attitude. You know, in learning, that means that there's a curriculum for you to become, a profession for you to arrive at. And it's also a discipline that it constrains you. It alters your person. It changes you. It brings you into a formation that heaven has for you. You say a disciple is an apprentice, a follower, and a learner. An apprentice is one basically that is disposed to learning. Okay? And he must follow. He's one also sits under teaching. That means that he's humble, he's teachable, he can be instructed. You say a disciple is formed through years of sound New Testament teaching, faithful following, and service to leadership. Also, in true discipleship, you may be led where you would not naturally choose to go, you know, which actually is a place of your alteration. So that means as a disciple, your choices can be constrained. When your choices does not align with the will of God, you know, everyone has that mandate to redefine you and to lead you to where you don't want to go. Learning as a disciple results in a transformed lifestyle, becoming a visible expression as a standard, a message, and manner of life. We also said a disciple is a product of a transformed life. Apollo, a disciple of John, was mighty in words. Then we also saw that basically that being committed, you know, to becoming like his master is a goal of a disciple. True disciples see spiritual growth, you know, and character formation as constant realities, not seasonal, not convenient pursuits. You know, why you are in that wineskin is because you want to have growth, you want to change, you want to increase, you want to build up, you want to win your battle. Because God is interested in your, you know, in you being fruitful. Fruitful first and foremost in your soul. Attaining the height that God wants you to become. You know, being a precious what? A precious fruit. And God also wants to commit into you an eyes and, you know, that we may be able to duplicate, multiply on the earth by bringing order in. He said the epistles were written to disciples and the laws and testimony was sealed among disciples and given to them. We also said basically being a disciple means basically that things that are hidden should be open to you. And when they are open to you, you know, you should be able to convert them to what you own. It was disciples who were first called Christian, so a believer is not a Christian. You know, because disciple means that you've been schooled, and being a Christian, that means that you are like Christ. One can be a long-standing disciple. Discipleship is actually continuous. It's a lifetime project, and it's an everlasting institution. Faithful continuation in teaching leads to further allocation and growth, you know. So as we are faithful, we receive more, and we grow more. Matthew 28:19-20. This morning, we'll be looking at a goal and destination of a disciple. We'll be looking at character and attribute of a disciple. We'll also be looking at discipleship and, you know, and community. And we trust God to land it at the cost of discipleship, with hidden treasure of the kingdom aligned with it. Matthew 28:19-20. Can we read it together? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the... So this morning, we take first the goal and destination of a disciple. Okay, let's read Ephesians 4:13-15. The goal is the attainment of full stature, inheriting divine nature, eternal life. The goal of a disciple is to share in the life and nature of our master, and to bear the precious fruit of the head, and to labor alongside God in the harvest. As Paul instructed Timothy, be a follower of me, and even also, I'm also a follower of Christ, so that we may reflect Christ's character, carry his fruits, and partner with him in the work of the kingdom. This is the high calling and life mission of every disciple. So let's read Ephesians 4:13-15. He said, we all come to unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth no more be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, and by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The intent of God for you, or the goal and the destination of a disciple, is that I will come into the agenda God had from the beginning. The truth is, the scripture said that what is man? I'll use that scripture to explain this. So what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you visited him? You say you made him a little bit lower than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor. The thought or the intent or the agenda called man, God didn't stumble on it. And it was not an afterthought for God. In other words, God creating man is not because God wants to respond to Satan. It's not because Satan has rebelled in the heaven and there's now trouble. Then they want to clean up the mess. No. Because what even first Satan is that same agenda. What first Satan is a longing, a desire to come into that estate. So that means that God in himself, right from the beginning, what you call nation, what you call the way they taught us in school, they taught us classification, right? And they gave the strata of it. Now, God, before the beginning, in his mind, he wants to see his likes around him. So the creation of angels was actually a means of achieving that project. An angel is actually set forth to be a what? To help you, to help God's project to come into landing. So if angels were created first, it's because basically God needs them to actualize his purpose. So God has had it from the beginning that what you call creation must reflect him. And that is shown for that. How is it that God was able to hid everything that he wants to communicate into creation? You know, God hid himself in creation. God hid what? Himself in creation. So in his creation, God hid himself there. He now planted man in his creation that man may arrive at his destiny. So the goal and destination of a disciple is that you will arrive at the intent that God has in his mind called man. So we can say basically that we have not seen men yet. Man that God has in his mind, that God ordained from the beginning, we have not seen it. And the medium, the wineskin, or the goal and the destination of you that is being called man now is that you may attain that height. Actually, that's when I can say I'm a man. Presently, I'm a man in transit. Because the true man is actually that your will and God's will are one. So God measure man by what? Your will be done on earth. So when his will is done in you,
That's when you can say you are a man. So, in as much as God looks into your soul, and there's this pride between his will and your will, you are still in transit. You are still in journey. And that gives room for alteration, right? That gives room for change, right? That gives room for learning, right? That gives room for discipleship, right? That is why we are here. So the goal and destination of a disciple is that I will arrive at the project called God. You know, and God did this thing so subtly that you find basically that almost everything in discipleship, whatever God does, before it even came to man, there are discipleship amongst animals. Do you believe that family is a discipleship unit? You think it's only man that have family? It's not only man that have family. So sorry. Even say in your science, your living things are even classified into family. So that means basically that, and they are not drawing from something that is new. Science are basically drawing from that which God has already what? Originated. So those strata of classification they taught us in biology, you know, man is just grasping after God. He may not have the accuracy, he may not have the precision, but the truth is that what he's grasping after, God has ordained that strata in the heaven, or that path, or that way. So you have at the back of your mind that why discipleship? What is the destination of a disciple? What is the goal? Or what's my take home on being a disciple? Is that I want to arrive at the definition that God had for me in the beginning. That scripture said that God had been a dwelling place before the mountains were brought forth. So from that dimension, God has marked you in that you will return in his likeness and his image. Lastly, on this note, in Genesis, God didn't mind what about it. The foundation, the premise of making man, let us make man what? In our image, after our likeness. Beautiful. Let them do what? Have dominion. So that shows basically that the purpose, the basis for giving the soul flesh and giving a spirit is that likeness and image is not tradable. If you're a man that you're not pursuing image and likeness, you are miserable. Actually, you don't have purpose. You don't have destination. Because the foundation that premises you or that upon which you are created is image and likeness. So in the light of that, goal and destination of a disciple is that I must attain that stature. I must come into that estate. So in this reality, we follow God or we follow Christ and we follow men. Characters and attributes of a disciple. Disciples have characters, they have attributes. If you say you're a disciple, we should be able to look at you and say, yes, you know, the way you do characteristics in biology, right? Characteristics of living thing. They say it has changed overnight. When we were there, they said, Mr. Niger D. But they say it has gone beyond D now. You know why? Science will keep discovering. They don't have the whole length of it. You know? And also because there's a disadvantage in the soul that is walking, they are bound to have also a misdefinition. So we know that animals, mammals, non-living things, all have characteristics. No, we say, what's the characteristic of a stone? You can tell me. A stone cannot move from one place to another. A stone cannot speak. A stone is hard. Am I right? A stone can be reduced or changed in shape through weathering. You can say a lot of things about a stone. When I talk about a man, what's the characteristic of a man? Oh, a man can move, you know, Mr. Niger D, nutrition, irritability, growth, excretion, respiration, the rest, death. So the way you can do that in biology, you should also be able to do that for yourself. That I am a disciple. What are my characteristics? Then I should be able to ask myself, can I tick this? Actually, please, as a child of God, you must be able to tick yourself. When you are reading a list of things in the scripture, that either they say don't do or you should have them, pause. Don't just read them through. And say, okay, patience. Is it full mark or half or none? See, if you don't do this thing, you aren't making any progress. Because the first foundation for your movement is acknowledgement. If you cannot acknowledge where you are, you can't take a step. You can't. Until the day you go, oh, in this thing I fall short, then grace will find you. But the devil has done so much that we shy away from it. When that is coming, even say sometimes when you read those things, you see other people. You see other, oh, this is Jide, this is Jude, this is, you know, but the reality is that it is you they want to see. So characteristics or character are attributes of a disciple. A disciple is a steward. A disciple manages what God has entrusted faithfully. Now, what God is entrusting to you is not cars. It's not houses. Even what God entrusts to you is not ministry. God has what he trades in. The thing God trades in, because we said earlier on, God has an intent from the beginning, right? And in that intent, he has actually attributed into the word. There's something called stewardship. So that means that every businessman on the earth, every trader on the earth is actually borrowing from God's idea. That's the truth. Let's look at Luke chapter 16, verse 1. Most of us think stewardship is about earthly things, things that pass away. How can you be using Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost, the third person in the Trinity. Your regenerated spirit, which is a part of the body of Christ. Those two entities, they are premium and above this earth. Your soul is even premium and above the earth. That's why your soul, give all the world to your soul. Your soul will conquer it. And it will still ask what you are aspiring for, what you are longing for. When they give it to you, it does not take 2 weeks. You have gone beyond it. You have licked it and you have moved on. It's those things that don't measure up to your soul, don't measure up to your spirit, don't measure up to the Holy Ghost that you want to be a steward of. It's a wrong equation. So we read Luke chapter 16. And he said unto his disciple, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he was. He wasted his goods. Now, being a disciple, you can waste goods. You can waste resources. And you never cross your mind that they are goods. It will never cross your mind they are resources. And he called and said unto him, how is it that I hear of thee? Give account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer a steward. So that means that stewards give accounts. When goods come to you, heaven will request you to give account. And the goods that is coming to you in a discipleship wineskin, they are not earthly goods that you can see. And for those goods, God will ask you about it. Because he brought those goods your way for you to be profitable. Because a steward is a trader. He's a profit maker. He's one who changes little to what? When he said be fruitful and what? Multiply. So a steward must give account. Account of what? Account of invisible things that come to him in a visible world. Then the steward said unto himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do. That when I am put out of the stewardship. So that means that they can put you out of stewardship. You know how they put you out of stewardship? They start committing goods to you. In other words, you come to a place that the things that heaven released towards you for your change, for your image, for your likeness, they will stop bringing it. Why? Because the one they've given to you over time, you have squandered them. You wasted them. You didn't make a good use of it. So this guy said, look, I know what to do. My intent basically is that I should be receiving to an habitation. That's the mind of a steward. Discipleship is that you should be receiving to a what? An habitation. Now, the Lord used this scripture not to teach us to be crooked in business. It's not that it is just for you to cheat somebody. No. He's saying that man, his intent, what is behind his mind for what he did is habitation. So that means that as a steward, I must have in the back of my mind that I must come into an habitation. I must be an habitation of God. And God must be able to reside in me comfortably. I must have come so much peace that I can't injure God. So a steward must be profitable. A steward must be accountable. A steward must trade what is given. And a steward must be found faithful. One of the characteristics that I, as a disciple, is that I must be a good steward of the resources, you know, of all the mysteries of the gospel in the days of my flesh. And I must make profit with it. Because the Lord also showed it in the parable of the talent. He said he gave one what? A talent. He gave another one, two. He gave another one, I think five. According to everyone, ability. According to your estate. According to your need. And he said he traveled. And when he came back, he required of them to make account of the estate. So imagine in your journey of faith, in the discipleship environment, put it at the back of your mind that goods will come to me. Now, those goods, you must have eyes to see them. Because when good pass in front of you and you don't see it, something is wrong with you. Because goods that you don't see, you cannot what? You can't account for. You can't trade with it. You can only trade with what you have seen. So when good is passing before me, when they are bringing goods to me, you put them together and say, okay, when they bring goods to you, you have open shop. And you must trade. A steward is faithful. Faithful to be like the master. A disciple imitates Christ in word and in deeds. Be ye follower of me, even as I'm also follower of Christ. A disciple is an imitator. I will imitate Christ, and I will meet set men that are set before me. Do you know that the disciples, when they sent them out, they went to imitate Jesus? They actually went to imitate Jesus. And imitating Jesus, Jesus said something that was tremendous. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. So that means that in the place of imitation, you are actually affecting Satan. Just imitating. In the place of imitating, you can force Satan. You can put your leg where they put leg. You put another where they put leg. Jesus is so assured that Satan can fall. It looks simple, right? But that's the reality. So faithful to be like his master. To be faithful, that means that, you know, they've committed goods to you. Jesus came on earth to walk with those goods. He showed you how he put his leg. Now ask yourself, what made Paul to recount when he was slapped before the Sanhedrin? That's putting step. You know, many things happen to us that you know you have goofed. You know you have missed the mark. You know you should retract yourself. But most of the time, we don't. You gloss over it. But Paul showed in that scripture that actually you can retract. Now, that step of just taking that step of retraction, you know, is a victory for your soul. It's a confrontation to that which wants to destroy you. But we don't see it that way. You know, what do you see? Shame. What do you see? I can say, no, just collaborate with power. No, wrap it up and move on. But that power to say, no, so sorry. That was a lie. Or that's an exaggeration. No, that's not the way it happened. That is healing to your soul. So Paul knew when he was saying, oh, you, is it whitewashed sepulcher? How can you order them to slap me? Then he said, oh boy, you don't know this is the laws, the high priest. High priest, I'm sorry, sir. There's also another commandment in the Bible that said I should not speak evil of no man. So speaking evil about you is a sin. I'm sorry. That was healing for Paul. And everyone will look at Paul. They can't hold him against that account because he has justified himself. He has taken an allocation of good to correct himself. That is where I design be faithful. There's a way for you not to leap, but you grab the back. Say it's not going. Brethren, if you are going to defeat the enemy, this is where we must think. This is where we must react. I must be able to come boldly and say, I give a false representation of what I told you yesterday. I did. That what that means that next time, when you are talking to that brother or that sister, you will be more cautious, you will be more careful. Even if you are giving a report, you will have your brother's love at heart. You will give it from a realm of charity. Before, you were complaining about him. Now you are looking for a solution for him. So it's a two different allocation. You are reporting a matter, and what you want to get out of that, I want to report that this guy is bad. You know, that's a report. You can give another report that, look, this person needs help. Two different destinations. The same account, Luke 6, verse 40. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be a what? As his master. The scripture says, be you perfect as a what? As a heavenly father.
Perfect.
So you can be like your master. And so when you are like your master, it means basically that you're a faithful person. What they've given to you, you have converted it and you have arrived as your master. Characteristic of a disciple is that he's a cross carrier. Who likes cross here? But we must come to a point that you can say, I love cross. The truth is, as a child of God, you must love the cross. If you don't love the cross, you can't make progress. What is cross to you? Suffering, shame, curse, tribulation, pain, denial. But cross is good to you. Before Jesus died, cross was a thing of shame. But after Jesus died and resurrected, cross is glory. That's what we have not come to agree with. Before Jesus died, cross is a shame, is a curse. It's like when they crucify you, in your lineage, all of you are doomed. Because you have shown the world that you are not worthy to live on earth. And it's a family that produces you. But when Jesus, the righteous one, went to the cross, he changed the glory of cross to life. A disciple embraces sacrifice and obedience. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So that means that you can't follow Jesus if you don't have a cross. Now, Jesus brought this saying out of the incident between him and Peter. And when he told them that he was, in a few days' time, he's going to die. and they were rebuking him. They were saying no. But the master said, look, if you don't have cross, you can't arrive at the Father. Tell yourself, cross is good for my soul.
Cross is good for my soul.
Say, cross is good for my soul.
Cross is good for my soul.
Say, I love cross.
I love cross.
Say, I will do cross.
I will do cross.
Say, I will carry cross.
I will carry cross.
How do you carry cross? How did Jesus carry cross? You can never carry cross standing. You must carry cross bending. You must carry cross what? Surrender. You yield. You know, cross is stronger than yoke. Yoke is training you. Cross, you carry it. You agree with it. See, cross can be staying here and you choose never to carry it. But when you carry cross, you must bend. Say bend.
Bend.
Say submit.
Submit.
Say agree. So sacrifice and obedience is a must in cross carrying. Luke 14:27. He said, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So you cannot be a disciple without a cross. The cross life is a must for you to follow. The cross life is not an alternative. In other words, let me put it this way. They don't need your opinion. They don't need your opinion for cross carrying. The day you sign up to say, I want to be a disciple, you are saying, please give me cross. You know why they baptize you openly? That's why they baptize you openly. Because baptism is actually what? Death and resurrection. You know? So you have told the world, me, I'm a cross carrier. I'm ready for what? Death. That I may be what? Resurrected. Because what will actually kill you is the cross. And without death, there's no life. Except the seed of corn fall where? And what? With what? You remain what? So if you want to abide alone, leave cross alone. But if you want to be fruitful, if you want to have first what? The blade. Am I right? Second what? The hair. And the full corn in the hair. Then carry cross. Tell your neighbor, say cross is good for me.
Cross is good for me.
Say cross is good for my soul. Say cross is my character.
Cross is my character.
I love to carry it.
I love to carry
daily.
Daily.
Always.
Always.
In every circumstance.
In every circumstance.
In every situation.
In every situation.
This is where I define cross, me personally. The standing pole, I call it faith. The crossing pole, I call it what? Hope. If you can do those two, God will share his love in your heart. When you do those two, faith will bring you substance. When you have substance, a hope will be painted before you. Because nobody can carry cross without what? Those two things. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So once you don't have sight, you can't see image and likeness. Sorry, you can't carry cross. See, the word of Jesus are heavy. They just look at something that is straight. No. You know why? When they say, when you go through tribulation, you should do a somersault. Who does it? Who does it when they are speaking bad about you? Who does it when people lie against you? Who does it when you are exposed and your weakness is seen? Nobody. But if you can do a somersault, truly you have come to believe the gospel. The truth is that you have not believed the gospel until you see cross as a necessary ingredient for your journey. So you must pray that God, give me eyes to see cross. And give me eyes to what? To use cross. Who likes to follow here? Following does not mean that you are lesser. Because that's the way the enemy has trained us. Am I a mumu? Am I ode? You know, am I not wise enough to determine and decide how I should live my life? Can't I make decisions the way I want to make it? Can't I do things the way I want to do it? Everybody loves to be a leader. Or at least lead yourself. Everybody loves to lead himself. But if you say you're a disciple, you have the energy and the ability to follow. So that means that you can differ in opinion. You can differ in opinion. You can lay down your own opinion. Because the truth is that if you don't follow, you can never be a learner. Learning and following are the same thing. You say, I want to learn. You are saying, I want to follow you. I want to be an apprentice. You say, I want to follow you. The day you don't have the mind of following, you can't be instructed. That's the truth. You cannot be instructed. Instruction will bounce. Instruction you will not do. Why? Because you have not come into the following mode. When you come into the following mode, even so when instructions are hard, you go and sit down. You evaluate it. You look for way and a way to do it. You talk to yourself. Luke 9:59-62. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, what will not make you to follow our issues of life? It's not that he just chose not to follow. There's something that is pulling, following away from you. You don't have strength. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit of the kingdom. Now, this is what it looks like. It's not mean that you're a believer and you say, I'm not believing again. Now, this is how you do a plow work. You have two beasts that you have yoked together. You are with the plow itself, what you call a disc today, in a tractor. See the tractor as the machine in front. See those blades I always see at the back as what you are holding. Now, your two hands must be on that wood. Then the animal in front of you will be moving straight. Now, as you're holding that plow, if you look back like this, you can't have a straight line. You have a bent ridge. So when the scripture says what? You can't be my disciple. You know? By saying what? I am looking backward. You can't. You must not be distracted. Your gaze must be forward. So a follower is one who's what? His gaze is what? Straight. Now that's the example of someone who basically what? Is a follower. In other words, when distraction comes, you can bounce it. You know what it means? That somebody is telling Jesus, I want to go and bury my father. I ask a question, is he dead now? He's not dead. He's just saying, Jesus, give me time. I want to exhaust the journey of life. Then I'll come and pick you up at my comfort. That's what he's saying. Go and check it. The father is not dead. His father is still alive. But he has not made that decision to follow Jesus. That's the truth. Let me go and bury my father. He wants to do the right that the world has what? Given to him to do. Everybody wants to provide for your father, your mother, provide for your family, provide for, you know, Jesus said that if you don't hate your father, mother, Jesus didn't mean what though. By hating them, he's not saying that you not perform your duties. But he's saying that as you journey in life, you come to contradiction that your choices and their choices cannot be the same thing. Your choices and your father's choice will contradict. And you must stay with Jesus. When you go read that account, he even mentioned about wife. He mentioned wife twice in an account. So sometimes when your husband is not going your way, it's not that they don't love you. Your husband decided to die with Jesus. He just wants to be a what? He wants to be a follower. So that guy's father wasn't dead. He just wants to fulfill earthly rights. And most of the time, earthly rights deny us that capacity to follow Jesus. A disciple puts God's will above personal desire. If any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself. How do you deny yourself? That's your characteristic. We're looking at a what? Your own Mr. Niger D, right? So when we are done with this, go and mark yourself. Do a template. Say characteristic of Peter, a disciple. Then tick. Then score yourself. Then you now take decision to start making journey. That's how you do as a disciple. So here, a disciple puts God's will above personal desire. If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself. So you must learn self-denial. Say self-desire.
Self-denial.
You know why? Your will is awkward. Your will is not in alignment with the will of God. So most of the things you want to do, they are contrary to God's will. They will not make you to arrive at image and likeness. And you must deny it. Say deny it.
Deny.
Now, they didn't tell you that they will deny it for you. In other words, even if you're in a discipleship group, the one they are doing to help you to deny it is not working for your soul. They are only training you. The one that accrues lives into you. Let me give you an example. You said, I want to go to Idumota. They said, don't go to Idumota today. There's midweek service. You can go on Friday. And you agree. Or your heart was so many things happening around you. Now, so sorry, yo. That instruction is only instructing you. He's only trying to train you. You know that what they are trying to yoke you. That instruction has not changed you. Are you not complaining? Were you happy with it? Were you comfortable with it? No. So it has not changed you. It has not given you the word, the image of the Son of God. So when it will give you the image of the Son of God, is that the day you yourself come and say, this thing, I want to do it. But I will not do it because of this. That is what accounts for salvation for your soul. The other one was, they're trying to point your attention. They are trying to bring your gaze on how to behave. The one that worked for your soul is the one that you yourself made. So, characteristic of a disciple is that I have power, I have strength to deny myself. Say, forsake all and follow me. Luke 14:26. If any man come to me, hate not his father. Discipleship is hard, right? He said, hate his father, hate his mother. Say, hate his wife. Say, hate his children. Say, hate his brethren. Say, hate his sister. Say, yeah. And his own what? Life also. He cannot what?
Be my disciple.
Who is remaining? So that's where God wants you to come. That's the way God wants to borale. If you have bought engine to replace in the car, you understand what I'm saying. They will strip you of everything. Then you appear, and then they'll begin to help you. Then, when you have come to this stage, you can say, yes, so me, I'm a disciple. Forsake all. Let's use another scripture for you. There's a man that came to Jesus who said, what shall I do to gain eternal life? Jesus said that, do this. He said, all of it I've done. I'm doing all those things. And Jesus went a step further. He said, okay, go sell all that you have. Give it to the poor. They actually call him a young ruler, a rich ruler. You know, then come and follow me. Now ask yourself a question. Was Jesus interested in his goods? No. Jesus was teaching things that are beyond the mind of his generation. The truth is that denying yourself is selling all you have. You sold father, sold mother. Somebody even came, Jesus, we have left everything to come and follow you. We don't have anything. Okay, don't worry. I will make provision for the things you have lost here and even serve in the world to come. But if you don't follow me, the one you are even keeping, you will lose it. You know, the life that you are keeping, what are the life? My father, my mother, my brethren, my sister, my wife, my children, and my own self. Jesus said that you will lose it. So that means that it does not pay to keep. It does not pay to keep your life. So every estate you come to in a discipleship group, in your journey with the Lord, you must have this at the back of your mind. You see, Christianity is a formula. Christianity is mathematics. See, the day you come to a place that you can actually say, look, I've denied myself. You know when you deny yourself. You know when you are living for yourself. Don't you know? That's the truth. So the day you can say, God, me, I know I've denied myself. You have been helped. So a disciple is he who has denied himself. Forsake all. So when you are forsaking all, that means that in the contradiction of life, when judgment, goods of heaven comes to you, and your father is in the way, your mother is in the way, you yourself are in the way, you have capacity to say, don't stay in the way of the Lord. Don't stay in the way of God. You can, Peter, don't stay in the way of God. That's where you come to. That actually, sorry, me, I forsake all. A disciple commits fully to God, God's work. No man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You have to cooperate with God. You have to, you know, what means to be commit? You are committed to a thing. You know, you put your hand to the plow. You know what it means to put your hand to the plow? To bring your hand to the plow is not joke. What is plow? Plow is work. Plow is not play. It's labor. Jesus gave an example. He said, which of you, your servant, has gone to the farm to go and work? He said, when they come back, we ask him to sit down. So that means that plow is work. Because actually, what is expected for a natural man? Oh boy, rest. You have borne the day's heat. Say, be ready for hardness. A disciple endures trial to know for the sake of Christ. Yeah, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Say, hardness is good. Because if you don't love hardness, there's no way you can love tribulation. You can't love persecution. You can't love denial. Because when you deny yourself, it's actually hardness. Say, don't entangle with the affairs of this world. Say, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and snares, and into many foolish and hurtful laws, which drown them in destruction and what? Perdition. Now, the world is not actually arranged for you. I'm sure you know that. The world is different from the earth. The world and the earth are not the same thing. The world is not for you. The world came out of the fall. So when I say, well, love not the world and the things therein. So that means that both the world and the things therein are not for your favor. And the world is arranged in such a way that it's for your comfort. Say, for my comfort. Just drop an EV. You know an EV? An electric vehicle. You just say, bro, this electric vehicle 2026 is for you. I hope your shoulder will not change. But the truth is that, as a disciple, characteristic of a disciple is that, do I love this word? Do I subscribe to this word? Can I easily go against the word? Can I deter the way the world is going? Because we say characteristics is basically what you will do as a disciple. So a disciple does not love the world. You know, the affairs of this world does not entangle him. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes do not affect him. Those are the things. Then the word himself does not lie in his heart. Now, one of the ways I know that you're a disciple is that you died yesterday. But the Bible said that we must die daily. Because all what they put ahead that we have read before, all some so was for you to die. When you are following, you are dying. When you are denying yourself, you are dying. Death is a way to life. Nothing comes into life without death. Satan is not the originator of death. The physical death and corruption death, yes. But God himself ordained the path called death. Okay, in the garden, in Genesis, they were seed, right? Adam and Eve have not eaten the tree of knowledge of good and evil. With the seed that fall from the tree, will they grow? Will they grow through the cycle? A seed first must what? Fall to the ground and die. So that means that before Adam and Eve actually ate of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, the cycle of death for multiplication and increase was on earth. That law was working. And that's why God can use darkness to change you. He said, all things work together for my good. There's nothing you can go through on earth that can work together for your good. What will determine the goodness you come out of God? Your response to it. Your reaction to it. How you took it. Did you see good in evil? When you see good there, you take the good out of it. A disciple is one who can take good out of death. Good out of rubbish. Good out of insult. Good out of shame. So death daily is a must. Paul said, I die daily. Say yourself, I will die daily.
I will die daily.
In that conversation with my sister, I will die daily. In that conversation with my pastor, I will die daily. Death is a weapon in the hand of God to change your person. And you don't have to be in the grave when you are dead. Because Jesus said that, let the dead bury the dead. And Jesus also can use the death for you to become like him. Let's run through disciple community. Discipleship live in covenantal and accountable relationship. They love church community and brethren life. They function in teams and value family life. Disciples and community life are not mutually exclusive. True discipleship live under authority to God and to men. You know, God said the solitary in families. Discipleship require reproduction and multiplication of life. You know, it includes accountability, it includes training, it includes rebuke, correction, intentional. The truth is that in a community of discipleship, life functions there. Discipleship and family or household are actually similar. They are not different. Their purpose, their intent are not different. God is just coming to you on the two fronts. Naturally, God puts you in a family. Imagine you give birth to a baby who doesn't have a father, doesn't have a mother, just jumping on the street. If that baby is picked up by an hyena, it will be an hyena. You don't agree with me? It will jump, it will run, there's nothing it won't do. Because it will learn what is seen around him. And so you see that God has actually ordained that a community, a wineskin, a family life is an environment for growth. Even said, God didn't desire trees to live alone. Have you noticed? Trees give birth to families too. You don't agree? Plant a tree here. If you leave it, you don't weed, it will give birth to families. They will grow around it. They will multiply. They will increase. It's our weeding and thinning that doesn't make them to live their natural life. Have you ever asked yourself, the bushes you see along Lagos, Badesha, who planted them? Is there a farmer of bush? So tree has family. Stones have family. Even the air has family. Sea movement has family. Then why must you not have family? Why must you be a solitary man? Not living to even acknowledge that family is good. Have you ever think about it? Let's say it's only one stone that is on earth. Okay, do you know the sand that you tread on their family? When you go to the beach, the sand that you play with their family, they play too. They relate. They communicate. I was sharing scriptures once upon. He said, go and look at their hands. To tell you that family concept is real. He said, they don't have leader. But they maintain family life. Aunts, they don't have leader. They don't have instructor. But family life is amidst them. None of them lives as a what? A solitary man. But there's no leader. Nobody's going to say, aunt, don't go away. Don't run, no. Follow us, oh. Human being on earth. When they catch you, they'll just step on you. It's just a natural thing that is built into them. So that means that family is natural. How many of you love to be solitary? You just want to, I want to be only one on the highland. I have my bank. I have my education. I have my military. Only me there. Imagine what it would look like. So God said it's solitary in families, you know, because if you go and read that Psalm 68, you find basically that even in that 68, you find that even if you're in the wilderness and you're in the family, you'll be fruitful. It's in that same word. That you're in the wilderness. You're in a wilderness journey. But you're in a family, you'll be fruitful. But if you're not in a family, you're already a desert. Then when wilderness find you, you'll be a desolate. Go and look at that Psalm 68 later on. But the truth is that if it mentioned later down the line that wilderness might be around you, but you come to fruitfulness because you are searching family. Disciples require reproduction and multiplication of lifestyle. Why you are in discipleship community is that say reproduction, say multiplication in your lifestyle. Jesus and Peter shows this. Intentional, organic disciple in kingdom disciples are both intentional and organic. Now, intentional means that on your side, you must be a participator. You can be in a discipleship group and it's not favoring you. Do you know that? Okay. Do you know that you can be obeying commandments, it's not changing you? You can be obeying somebody's commandments and you're not changing. You're just carrying on what? A routine order. Just one piece. It's not affecting you. You understand? You know, Jesus gave that same scripture. The ruler that came to him, he has obeyed commandments. He obeyed all the commandments. But when they told him, go and sell all that you have, what those commandments ought to do to him to sell? Yes. Love with all your heart, with all your mind. You couldn't love the Lord, but he was obeying commandments. Okay, why is it that the Jew could not follow Jesus when he came? Are they not doing commandments? They were doing commandments. They were ritual. The commandment was for Jesus. The man came to leave the commandment in front of you. They couldn't see it. So you can actually what? Live in a community and you are not being altered. Very subtle. Say, I'm of intentional. Say, structure system for regular envisioning, setting standard, impartation, and building. Now, so that system created with your intentionality, when you bring into a structured environment, you prosper. I love to go to school. I want to go to school. I want to read. When you put me in school, I'll be a good grader. But I don't love to go to school. I don't love to read. Put me in school. Will I be a good grader? It's as simple as that. Organic, natural life setting, living closely with leaders or brethren, learning through observation, absorbing lifestyle and value. So we find that basically their community is both intentional and organic. You are not a zombie. Zombie will not help you. Go, go, move, move, sit, sit, join, join, read, read. When they ask you, come and lead prayer. You should not lead prayer because they just asked me to come and lead. If they ask me to come and lead prayer today, they are moving me in the way that I don't want to go. I might grumble first. I might be scared. You might not even grumble. You might just be scared. There's a difference between grumbling and being scared. Because it's a new terrain. You've never done it before. You are averse to people. You know, you can't face crowd or two or three people. That can make you a little bit scared. The first time I did a morning cry in the University of Ilorin, it happened to me. Imagine I joined morning cry in the morning. They took me to my own hostel. In front of my own room. They didn't tell me, oh, we are just going, but it's my hostel they went to. When we even go to my hostel, I said, why are we going to our hostel now? Let's go somewhere else. They took it in front of my own room. It has not even dawned on me. Then somebody tapped me, preach. See, that day I felt like entering the ground. And you're likely to feel that way also. There's nothing wrong with it. But I could have said, look, I'm not preaching. Now, that incident that day altered my person, altered my life. See, immediately I started speaking like this. I just saw a room opening. Pa, 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 pa. It was like the ground should just open and should be swallowed up. But the truth is that day experience altered me. There's no way I can stand and preach. Because that's the darkest night. That's the deepest death. Now, the same thing will happen to you. So, don't grumble about it. Have an open mind. Be sincere. The same you that doesn't like to lead prayer, you will now realize that, look, prayer is good. So, be intentional within an intentional system. And also be organic. Natural life setting. You see leaders, you know, you see brethren, you follow their footsteps, but not in a zombie manner. Because of discipleship. Hate and surrender. Yes. Through discipleship, we come into the subjective leading of the Holy Spirit who crucifies the old man and form Christ within us. Subjective living basically without God is leading you, but you don't know the end where you are going to. But God wants to achieve an intent in your heart. Now, subjective leading actually alter your person. Because in it, God confronts so many things that you don't even know you have. You know, and it's confronting them. At the end of the day, when you now arrive at where God is taking you to, that's when you know, oh, this is where God is bringing me to. This is what God wants to do in my life. You cannot live for yourself and please Jesus. You must basically live for Jesus. If your pastor cannot send you on a mission or entrust you with greater responsibility, maturity is still in progress. So say, don't hide. Say, take responsibility. Actually, the subject leading of the Holy Spirit is actually to help you to put off and to put on. Discipleship is total surrender. Life, possession, name, right, and privileges. We have seen that. Go sell all that you have. And what? Come and follow me. That's why I said that keeping commandments does not guarantee that basically you have sold and you are what? You are following Jesus. The more Christ-like we become, the more we see everything as stewardship. In truth, we are unprofitable servants. If you are not guarding yourself, if you are not ready to serve, you cannot be profitable in discipleship. So that parable said that what? He comes from the farm. He's tired. He's labored. He wants to rest. At that point, your master is calling you and giving you a responsibility. So you first guard yourself. You serve your master. That cycle, what it will bring you to basically is that, actually that sop that you saw, that your master sop, you are actually the one that is sopping. You know why? You use natural environment, seeing things. So you, the master sop natural thing, but you will sop spiritual things if you can go through that cycle. So the real sopping is actually sitting with you. That's why he went further to say that what? Then you can sit and what? And eat. Eye of a needle requires humility. Bowing down. Now, Jesus used that parable to define that a rich man might not be able to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because he can't sell all that he has. What he was actually talking about is that for you actually to surrender all, you must be able to, the way you go through an eye of a needle, you bend your knee. A camel is tall and high. When it comes to the eye of a needle, it must go down on its fore. They won't have to unbuckle the packs on his back. He will pass through, then they will load him again, then will continue in the city. When God calls you for surrender, what he gives is superior to what he releases. So when you say, I've lost everything, I've given everything, father, mother, wife, children, everything, I've laid down my life, I'm following, you know, all those things that you have mentioned earlier on, basically, you know, I'm plowing, I'm ready for hardness and the likes of that. Jesus come back to you in greater measure in things that are beyond this world. Lastly, hidden treasure of the kingdom. Now, Jesus spoke a lot of parable about treasure. One thing that is real about them, basically, say they are in my heart. So the secret of the kingdom, the mystery of Christ and God are hidden by nature. Hidden things are costly and priceless. Some secrets can't be committed unless you are a disciple. They are accessed by sacrificial art, willing to lay down life to obtain life. Without diligence and sacrifice, certain dimensions of God remain inaccessible. Paul talked about the grafting in of the Gentiles and the re-covenant people. He said, how unsearchable is wisdom. His ways are past finding out. Now, within a community of discipleship, I don't know how God does it. They are grafting you in a wide olive into the true covenant. When you graft a plant into a stem, the fruit should be the fruit of the grafting, not the stem. The stem is gone. What you grafted in should be the fruit. But that didn't happen in this situation. You, the wide olive, they grafted you into a what? Into the covenant relationship. Then the fruit you bore is not wide olive. It's what the stem carries. So you find that in a discipleship community, there's a mystery there that exists. When you see somebody who basically is grumbling to align, then you that also in the discipleship, you want to follow him the way he's grumbling to align. You don't know your own allocation. You don't know the day of your own visitation. That's what Paul was saying here. That for now, for the Hebrews, it's time for them to be blind. And there's nothing you can do about it. But for the Gentile, it's time for your eyes to be open. Make use of your eyes being open now. Because the day is coming. When God is calling for the true covenant people to come in, if your eyes was not open, your eyes cannot be open again. When you come to community of discipleship, you have a location, you have season, you have time. Make use of it. Don't trade them. Don't look at another. Don't say somebody is not doing. You know, graft yourself in properly and bear precious fruit. The Lord bless us in Jesus' name.
You will keep being disciple at every level. Even me, I'm still being disciple till now. You don't believe it. So, they will prove your heart in the best of discipleship. You have reason why you should not do it. You have reason. Hey, I don't want to because my house is this thing, my leg, my car. You see, all those things are excuses. You remember, it's also a square of discipleship. You must not love your, that's why, deny yourself. That was what they couldn't do. Those three men that was invited to the feast, the marriage feast that the father made for his son. Is their self. One say, I just bought a land. I need to go and see my land. Another say, I just bought oxen. I need to go and plow and test that thing before I pay the last balance. How can I pay 70% deposit. So let me go and test it. Then one say, Oga, say you understand. Even if it's in the law, it's written in the law. You know, see inside the law. That when you marry, you don't have to go to battle. You invited me for the marriage of your son. Me, I just married my wife. I never even test the one I married. Let me carry my wife on anymore. Let me go and test her. And I said, come to another feast. So come with my wife to a feast. In fact, you only gave me invitation. You didn't give my wife invitation. I leave my wife in the house. Orekelewa. That was say, Joker said, they are not worthy of me. He said, everyone invited to that feast. What was he teaching there? Is denying yourself. Take up your cross, even yourself, because all those three people, it was themselves. Things that they are invested in. So discipleship will take your life because you cannot inherit the life of your master if you're not going to give out your own. So they will put situation and circumstances again and again and again to take away your life.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyosiyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.